Speak, O Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated. This gospel lesson is a continuation from what we've talked about in the last 2 weeks. And last week we talked about how certain literary forms in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, are shaped a certain way. And the example we used last week, does anybody remember the example we used last week of a literary type in the New Testament? Jesus taught through parables, right? So a parable is a kind of literary unit, and it appears in the teaching, especially in the teaching of Jesus. But the literary unit that it is, what makes it a parable is that it has only one point. It doesn't have, for example, it's not an allegory. An allegory has many points in it. If we were to read our gospel this morning as an allegory, we would say, I am the true vine. That's talking about Jesus. And my Father is the vine grower. That's talking about God. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's you. And if you're not careful, you're going to get burned up in a lot of fire. That's you again. Now, that's if it's an allegory. If it's not an allegory, and a parable, then the point of the parable is, I want the presence of Jesus in my life. Now, we can't really understand what the community of John were concerned about. We have an idea, but we think that it was much worse than what we think, than what we realize now, 2,000 years later. But it appears that this was one of the moments in the Christian movement, the followers of Jesus, of course, are all Jews, when they began to differentiate and split off from each other. Now, that sounds sanitary and sweet and clean and neat. However, religious squabbles are never sanitary, neat, and unhurtful. You know this better than I know it myself. The church didn't yet exist. All worship took place in the synagogue and the temple. But now there's this group of Jews that are living up in Ephesus, a long way from the temple. There were synagogues around, and the followers of Jesus went into the synagogue, the local synagogue. However, they eventually got thrown out of the synagogue because people started to say, you are heretics. You're talking about Jesus, talking about the resurrection. This is not true. It's all made up. It's fake news. Get out. And so we gathered there was quite a bit of agony, pain, rage, anger, and quite possibly there was violence. People's families were being split in two over this concern. Some were saying that Jesus is sent by God to be the final prophet, so to speak. And the other is saying Jesus is a heretic who God rejected. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been crucified. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. What this point of this parable is, it's one point, is the presence of Jesus is no longer obvious with them. Jesus is gone. When Jesus was with them, they could do anything. They were afraid of nothing. James and John and Andrew and Peter, they were gangbusters to go on and take on anybody. Thomas at one point says, let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. And so they had this almost braggadocio attitude toward the world because Jesus was with them and they felt secure and confident. Now Jesus is not with them in the same way and they're scared. And so John writes this gospel. And he uses one word over and over and over again till you're tired of reading it. And the word is what the dude does. Does anybody know what the dude does? The dude abides. Does anybody even know what I'm talking about? Somebody? No? Okay. Sorry. It's a movie. It's a very famous movie with Jeff Bridges. And he uses the word in this contemporary movie, the dude abides. That is the kind of sense that John wants to bring to his community. Jesus abides in God, and therefore, as we are in Jesus, we abide in God. And so Jesus is not so far away. Jesus is right here. We abide in him. The word in Greek is meno. John uses it 44 times in this one gospel because he's trying to drive home the point that you don't need to be afraid, even though you are. Because Jesus is with you. You abide in Jesus. Jesus abides in you. And that's all that really matters. Now, we can fast forward 2,000 years, and we still have concerns about ourselves, about our health, about our safety, about concerns of our hearts, concerns of our politics. And in this difficult and painful and awkward time, even a time of anger and rage, we need to know, we need to experience the abiding in Christ that comes through prayer and through meeting together. And for that reason, we have asked a guest, Ellen Harlan, to come and be with us. And she will explain to us this wonderful program that our diocese supports called Curcio.
Good morning. I want to thank you for letting me come to speak to you this morning. I'd like to begin with prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So my name is Ellen Harland. I have been a member of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Acton for 40 years. I'm also married to my husband, Bill. We've been married for 48 years. I was actually raised Catholic, and he was raised Congregationalist, and the Episcopal Church gave us a place where we could worship the Lord together, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm also the mother of three grown children, and I have three grandchildren. And if we have more time later, I have pictures. So I want to talk to you today about Curcio. The Curcio movement is a renewal movement within the church. The word Curcio is Spanish, and it's part of a phrase, Curcio in Cristianidad, which has been translated as short course in Christian living. The first Curcios developed in the Roman Catholic Church in Mallorca, Spain, over 50 years ago. Under the leadership of their bishop, several laymen began to formulate a way to draw active lay people into the work of Christianizing their environments, which is to say, the everyday life settings in which they live. Eventually, Curcio worked its way over to the United States. At first, the Curcios were still held in Spanish and available only to Roman Catholics. In time, however, they began to be held in English, and eventually they started to let some Episcopalians in. The first official Curcio in the Episcopal Church was conducted with the help of Roman Catholic sponsors in the Diocese of Iowa in the 1970s. Soon they were being introduced in various parts of the country. Now, the purpose of Curcio is to help those in the church understand their individual callings to be Christian leaders. Now, leadership in Curcio doesn't mean power over others, but influence on others, a positive influence. The goal of Curcio is the goal of the church, to bring all to Christ. So Curcio is a lay-led movement within the National Episcopal Church under the direction of the bishops in each diocese. It is an open, liturgical, inclusive program. Curcio presumes that those who attend are already well-grounded in their faith. It is not intended to be a conversion experience, but an enriching and deepening of what is already there. It often provides new insights into our faith, as well as fostering ministry among lay people. Every person who attends a Curcio weekend comes from a different place in their Christian walk. Some are just beginning. and some have been long-time believers. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk, because the weekend assumes nothing, and everyone lives their weekend from their own personal perspective and their own personal experience. The weekend is a time to focus on what is fundamental for being a Christian in today's harried, hectic world. Each of us deserves the gift of time to take a special walk with our loving Lord. So what happens on the weekends? The weekend actually begins on a Thursday evening. We start in the chapel and we have meditations, some discussion, and compline. Then after that, silence begins, and silence lasts until the first morning prayer worship on Friday morning. This is the only time where there's official silence during the weekend. After breakfast, participants are assigned to table groups for the whole weekend. And the 3 days are filled with talks and group discussions on such topics as grace, the sacraments, and the laity. Curcio puts great emphasis on three things that they care strongly about: piety, study, and action. There is fellowship, singing, great food, prayers, walks, great food, meditations, some time for privacy or talking with the clergy, and have I mentioned great food? And we celebrate the Eucharist each day. Now, Curcio is not an end unto itself, but it can be a starting point that lasts the rest of your life. When people go on most regular retreats, those retreats end on Sunday, and that's kind of the end of it. There's no more. But with Curcio, after the weekend is over, if you want, you have the opportunity to meet with a small group of friends who get together on a regular basis to share their spiritual journey. This is called a reunion group. I've been in reunion groups off and on ever since I made my Curcio. The bonds that can develop bring people together in a strong support group. In addition to that, reunions of reunions, or altreas, are held on a regular basis, basically monthly, where we meet for fellowship, worship, sharing, and singing, and to share the love of Jesus. The word altreia means onward. Now, the duty of all Christians is to follow Christ, to come together for corporate worship, to work and pray, and to give for the spread of his kingdom. Sometimes it seems in our lives as Christians that it might be enough to have great knowledge of the Bible and of Jesus. We might have a lot of information about what we should and shouldn't do according to our faith. It is, however, a very long distance between the brain and the heart. I believe that when we let Jesus into our hearts, then real ministry begins. This is what Curcio did for me. I lived my weekend in February of 1984, and I'm still just as thrilled to talk about Curcio now as I was then. Before that, I knew Jesus, I prayed, and I did my best to be a good Christian and to show that I loved him. But I didn't really know how much he loved me. After Curcio, Jesus went from my head to my heart. Now I know how much Jesus loves me, not because of what I do or say, but because he loves me unconditionally. You know, a lot of people like to say, I have God in my heart. Well, your heart is pretty deep. You really can't touch your heart. But I want you all to put your hand on your face. Just put your hand on your face. You feel the warmth there? That is how close our loving God is to us. I know Jesus loves me not because of what I do or say, but because he loves me unconditionally with all my flaws. For me, learning that unconditional love was a dramatic experience. It was life-changing. God became real and personal for me, not a pie-in-the-sky God who wasn't really involved in my life or my worries. Now, currently for the Mass Episcopal Curcio Ministry, we have one weekend a year. It is a co-ed weekend. That means it is mixed gender. But it is not couple-oriented. You do not have to be part of a couple to go on the weekend. We usually hold our weekends in the spring. And there is a cost to attending the weekend, but there are scholarships for anybody for whom that cost could be a burden. The next weekend that is available is next spring, so you have lots of time to think about it and pray about it. The weekends are held at the La Salette Retreat Center in Attleboro, Mass. It is a beautiful facility with beautiful grounds for walking around. The accommodations are wonderful. Everybody has their own private room, and then you share a bathroom between two rooms. So I'm here today because my sister in Christ, Claudette, had a conversation with your pastor, and he felt that Curcio might be a positive experience in the life of this parish. I know for me and for many people, going on a Curcio weekend has been a deeply spiritual time. So all I ask is that you pray about it. There's never any pressure to go on a weekend. If people go on a weekend, it's because that's the weekend God called them to be there. I will be here after the service to answer any questions if you would like. And I'll close by saying, you do not need to go on a Curcio. You deserve to go on a Curcio. You deserve to be in the midst of a loving Christian community, being spiritually fed and deepening your faith and your love in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.